teaches us, how it challenges us, how even though we don't always understand it, Lord, you're there to guide us. So I ask for that guidance this morning. Give us your peace. Give us your wisdom. Holy Spirit, flow through this place as we try to discern what it is you have for us. We ask all this through the name of Jesus. Amen. This is the fifth and final week of this series that we've been walking through the book of 1 Samuel, looking at kind of select accounts, various stories, and trying to discern from them what it is that we can, as followers of Christ, sacrifice to grow in our relationship with the Lord. Of course, we started with Hannah and what Hannah was dealing with in her prayer for a son. And then we dealt with that son, Samuel, and we looked at his call, of course, into the office of prophet. And then we looked at the demand that came from the Israelite people, a demand for a king. And then finally last week we began looking at David, and we looked at his call, his anointing to become king. And as I mentioned, the reality, or the idea here, as we've looked at these various accounts, was to see if there are things in our lives that we need to sacrifice, that we need to give up in order to grow in our relationship with the Lord. But as we've done that, I hope that you've seen things beyond just that. It ultimately, My hope is that you've seen not only that we can use these accounts as a means to grow in our relationship with the Lord and learn things about ourselves, but my hope ultimately is that it has been a means for you to also gain a greater understanding of who God is and what he has done and what he continues to do in this world. You see, because it's God who is deserving of our absolute and complete affection, right? Our affections need to be focused on him and not divided to other things in our lives. He is the one in which we should derive our purpose, our meaning, and he is the one who gives us true faith. Faith that, of course, should be directed in trusting him, knowing that he is faithful and will come through. And he is the God who works in us and through us, even through the most ordinary, mundane, and often boring moments of our life. These are some of the avenues that we've looked at through this series. And as we continue forward here this morning, we're looking at what is, of course, the most famous, or one of the most famous, quote-unquote, Sunday school stories out there, the story of David and Goliath. Before we sort of dig deep into this story, I want to kind of play a little bit of background here first. And just look, just ask some of the serious questions surrounding this account. Like, for instance, is this a real story? Is this something that actually happened in history? Is it even possible that there is a giant that David fought? Well, when I will admit my bias here fully. That when I approach one of these stories in throughout the scriptures, I mean, my first reaction when I ask a question like that is yes. Right? I submit myself to the scriptures and recognize that I could be faulty before they are, admittedly. But I do that, I think, not without some real merit, right? Some real justification, some reasonableness to just that. I don't think it is unreasonable that David faced a giant this one day in Judah. And let me give you two reasons why I think that this is entirely possible. And I want to do that first by introducing you to somebody. This is a man named Robert Wadlow. Robert Wadlow is the Guinness Book of World Records world's tallest man. And he actually lived last century. Born, I think, from 1918 or so till 1940. He lived a short life. And when he was eight years old, the old age of my son, he was up to 6 foot tall. Can you imagine that? A seven-year-old towering over you. By the time he was 12, he finally topped his father at 7 foot tall. And by the time of his death, at age 22, he was a whopping 8 foot 11 inches tall. Incredible, incredible. And as the doctors examined him at his death, there was actually signs that he was not done growing. He was still growing. Now this is due to, as we know now, an overgrowth, or a pituitary gland, I think it's called, overgrowth in his brain that was causing human growth hormone to just go crazy in his body. And this has happened, of course, throughout history. There's a Turkish man right now who's the world's tallest man, who's, I think, 8'3". There is plenty of 8 foot plus people who have been recorded throughout history. This gentleman that you see is not just a statue. This is a man who is nicknamed the Child of Hale, Hale is a town that's just outside of Liverpool in England. And he lived in the 16th century. His name was John Middleton. John Middleton, though it's not officially recorded, it is said that he grew to 9'3" tall. It's crazy. It's crazy. This is a guy who caught the attention of King James. That's right. The King James who, you know, had commissioned the Bible to be translated into English. That King James, he wrestled one of his guards and apparently broke his thumb or something to that effect, so they say. And though it's not officially recorded, you can see that this is an actual life-size statue of what he would have looked like at 9'3". And this is not just a legend, right? You can go visit his grave over there in England if you happen to be there. So, you know, next time you're there, head to Hale. Check it out. It says on his gravestone, this is the grave of John Middleton, the Child of Hale, who was 9'3". It's crazy. It's crazy. So as we look at this, as we look at these pictures of giants in our history, recorded giants, and some that do strike some legend, right? It is possible, you have to at least allow that it is possible that somebody could have reached at that this crazy height that we see Goliath is recorded as here in the scriptures. Now the second explanation that I want to give you this morning is one that maybe is a little bit more feasible even in spite of that. There are some scholars who have looked at this account and seen some discrepancies in when it was transmitted through time. And there are some scholars that actually believe that there was a scribal error here and that the recording should not be 6 cubits in a span, but rather it should be 4 cubits in a span. And so that would make Goliath 6'9" rather than the 9'9" that he would be. Now this may not seem like a giant because I think most of us know rather tall people, right? We've met somebody who's probably close to the height of 6'9", but the height of a Middle Eastern Jew at the time of David was somewhere around 5 foot. And so you can imagine that someone who is 5 foot looking at someone who is 6'9" is going to seem like a giant. Either way you take it, My point in this is that we have to at least consider that this certainly, it is possible, though it may initially be difficult to understand or believe on the surface. So here comes David in this account, coming along, doing his father's bidding, right? Bringing his brothers lunch as they are on the front lines of Israel. They've been inducted into Saul's army, out fighting his battles, and David is not. He's still tending the sheep and actually dealing with some time in Saul's court, and he is told by his father to go bring his brothers lunch. And so David obeys, he listens, and as he approaches, he hears and he sees this giant of a man come out taunting, yelling, and provoking the Israelites to come, send a champion to face him. And as the Israelites stare at this giant of a man, they are paralyzed in fear. And they've been like this for weeks now at this time. And David hears this. And he hears what the giant is saying, these taunts of him, and he's baffled. He's like, why haven't you guys done something to this giant to this point? Now let's remember where we're at in the story of David here. We are, of course, now just past where David was anointed. You know, he was given the call that he would eventually be king. And he was also given through that the power of the Holy Spirit. And so David sees things a little differently now. He sees that God can overcome. God will empower them to take the giant and the Philistine armies. And so David, armed with this new confidence in the Lord, he accepts the challenge of the giant. And I want you to see this crucial part of this exchange here between David and Goliath here. Goliath starts cursing the Israelites with their gods, right? It's like the gods of the nations are coming out against Israel. And David responds to him and he says this. He says, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. I want you to sort of see what's going on here. As they meet in this valley, it's almost as if there's this cosmic battle that's happening here. The gods of the nations are coming against the God of Israel, and one of them will triumph. And we, of course, know who that is. And what does Israel need to overcome, to win in this battle? Israel needs a savior. They need a deliverer. And that is exactly what they get in David. David puts the stone in his sling, swings it around, and actually almost rather anticlimactically, the stone hits the giant in his forehead and he just falls over dead. Now here comes the interpretive issue here. So often as we read these accounts in the Old Testament, we want to put ourselves into the story, right? We want to identify with the story. We want to find ourselves in the narrative so we can relate. And I get that temptation, right? It's so easy for us to sort of think of ourselves as the hero overcoming the giants in our lives. And so we very often will read it this way. I'm David and my credit card debt is my giant and I'm gonna take it out. Even though the odds may not be in my favor, I will win. Because after all, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? There's Philippians 4:13 quoted out of poor context. Or maybe it's not your credit card debt. Maybe it's your boss. right? Your boss that keeps riding you. And so he's the giant in your life, and so you can overcome him. Maybe it's the difficulty in the relationships of your life, your hardship with your spouse. I don't know. Name your problem. This is so often how we place ourselves in this narrative. But I want to suggest to you that if that is how we're understanding this narrative, this picture of David and Goliath, then I want to suggest to you that we are missing out. We are missing the larger point. Think about how I set this up for us. Right? David comes into this and there's this almost cosmic battle happening, right? The gods of the nations coming against the God of Israel, and they need a savior to deliver them. Are you your own savior? Can you save yourself? Well, the Bible would tell us no. No, you need a savior as well, and so do I. We all need a savior. The point of this story is this. The point is not for you to look at yourself and overcome your giants. That is not the point at all. Rather, the point is for you to look to the one who has already overcome the greatest giant in your life. The giant of sin, of eternal separation that you would face from God if not for the person and work of Jesus Christ. Here's the thing that we have to remember. We have to constantly remind ourselves of this. The Bible is not about us. It is not about us. It's about God. It's about who He is and what He is doing and what He has done in this world. If it is about us in any sort of way, it's just simply the way to show us how we can be restored, how we can be returned to right relationship with God through the person and work of Jesus Christ as He took our sin, took our shame on His shoulders, and went to the cross in our place. Make no mistake, we all love feel-good, inspirational stories that we can relate to. But if this is how we view the story of David and Goliath or other stories in the Old Testament, then you have to see, you have to understand that we are missing out. And the Bible is so much bigger than just some inspirational story. See, if this is just some inspirational story, then your goal in life should just be to simply pick yourself up by your own bootstraps and just try harder next time your giants really, really stare you down. See, if this is just an inspirational story, then you are your own savior. And you better work really, really hard to try and repay a debt to God that you cannot repay. And so all your work will always just be in vain. If this is just an inspirational story, then let's be frank. Christianity is just a joke, because you will never be free from your sins. This is why we need to see the bigger picture here. And so, friends, this morning I want to remind you, you are not David. You are not David. And that, my friends, is a good thing. If there's anyone that you could identify with in this story, relate to, it would be the Israelites who are sitting there cowering in a corner and who've not lifted up a single stone to do anything to save themselves. just like Israel, you need a Savior as well. And you have one in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who conquered the greatest giant that you will ever face in your life, sin and death. This is why the gospel is good news. Because if Jesus is the better David, you no longer need to sit and be paralyzed in fear with this giant staring you down. Because you can know that Christ has ultimately overcome it for you. You can know that even if, and rather when, you do face giants or difficulties in your life, and they beat you down, because so often they will, then you have the assurance that no matter what, Jesus has you. And he will hold you up and never let you go. Friends, the Bible is not about you. And that is a good thing. The last thing that any of us need is one more self-help book to help us to look inside our dead souls before they are made alive in Christ. The Bible is meant to cause us to look outside ourselves, to see the bigger picture of who God is and what he has done and what he continues to do in this world. And once again, if it has anything to do with us, it is meant to show us how we can be restored and how we can play a part in the bigger picture of God's glory and God's work through the person and work of Jesus Christ. So friends, this morning, have you seen that picture? Have you seen that big picture? Do you want to? I remind you that it is a free gift offered, available to anyone who would trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior today. My prayer is that you wouldn't leave today without asking the question how you can see yourself in that bigger picture in Christ. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we have to give up or sacrifice old aspirations, old understandings of how maybe we've heard a story before, how maybe we want to see ourselves in a story. But Lord, when we do that, we recognize it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it allows us to look outside ourselves and see who you are and see what you have done. So Father, I pray that we would all do that. We'd constantly be a people examining ourselves and looking for you. Grant us grace when we fail. Help us to seek your glory in all we do. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.